Appreciate Daniel's prayer on my behalf as he prayed there. We are making plans for the church to send me here, just like we read in Acts 13, to send me out and to preach in other places in the world, and I'm encouraged by that, and we want to talk about that this evening. If you want to turn in your Bibles there in Acts chapter 13, if you'll just go back a couple of chapters in just a minute, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. I don't have a PowerPoint for you this evening. All I have for you is one map. So just to remind ourselves of a little geography, I'm going to Ghana. I'll be leaving, Lord willing, on August the 3rd and coming back on August the 26th. If you look on that map, if you come just a couple of small countries to the left or to the west, you'll see Liberia there. That's where Eric and Beatrice Carrier are from. So I'm going to be going pretty close to where they were born and raised. But Lord willing, we will be making this trip. This trip actually has been probably 7 years in the making. In 2014, I got an email just out of the blue from the preacher there in Cape Coast, which is down on the water. His name is Daniel Arthur, and for the past 7 years, we have had a lot of phone conversations, a lot of email conversations. He had heard about my website from somebody and contacted me that way, and I remember back then thinking that the kind of work that we do on the internet, sometimes you wonder if that has any good effect, and it does. There are people who, all over the world, who get online and get on individuals' websites and gain from that. So he's been getting a lot of my sermons and other material there, and for the past 7 years we've been talking, and he's been wanting me to come for some time. Lord willing, we've been able to do that. So I will leave on August the 3rd, and I will be going with Steve Walker, who preaches at Kingston Springs on the west side of Nashville, and Wayne Seaton, who's down in Columbia, Tennessee. Wayne Seaton, Steve and I have never been to Ghana. Steve had been before to some other places in Africa, Zimbabwe, I believe. But Wayne Seaton has been to Ghana several times, and he will be a big help. But you can go ahead and take that down, Carlin, if you want. But hopefully we will be leaving. We leave from Nashville. We fly up to JFK and then over to Accra, which is the capital of Ghana. And then we'll follow the coast down to Cape Coast, about a three-hour drive down to Cape Coast. We obviously today believe in evangelism, both local and around the world. We believe the Great Commission is still for today. In Matthew 28 and Mark 16, Jesus wanted the apostles to go into all the world. Christians continued that in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. Preaching is not just for the apostles, but all of the brethren in Acts 8 and verse 4. They were scattered about. They went about preaching the word. So all Christians can evangelize. And we want to help those who need help. We'll come back to Acts 11 in just a minute. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 16, when Paul is taking his second missionary tour or preaching tour from Antioch, he gets a vision in Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There was a man of Macedonia standing, beseeching him and saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. We call this the Macedonian call. There's a song in our songbook about the Macedonian call. And notice a couple of things there, beseeching us. And I know that you're already of this mindset, and I would encourage you to have this mindset more, that we've got to be mindful of brethren around the world and people around the world We certainly have work to do here in Clarksville, and we do that as much as we can, and I'll talk about that some more later. But we have to be world-minded, not just simply local-minded. I was blessed to be raised in a family where my father was world-minded, and I get some of this from him. But notice, Paul could have said, well, no, I don't want to do that. That's somewhere else. I've already got my agenda. I'd like to be here in Asia, and I'm not going to go over there. Notice the text says beseeching him, begging him. There are people that are begging for help, not begging for monetary help. They're begging for teaching and preaching. And we've got to hear that call. Come over, and then look at verse 9. Come over and help us. Some of the best help that we need to give people locally and around the world is the help of the gospel. It's very important. And if I can even encourage some of our young people here this evening to do this very thing, I know Abraham has done some of this before in South America. Let me encourage you to do that. It is extremely rewarding. It will teach you many, many valuable lessons. The lesson of service and sacrifice and helping others. And they love it when you come and help them. They eat it up. I've done this before in the Philippines, and there have been times where I've preached about an hour, or maybe a little over an hour, and I would stop, and I would be packing up my things, and some of the brethren would say, Brother Reese, can you keep going? So I go another hour. They eat it up. And they're often different, maybe, than us in that way. They're not time conscious like often we are. And so come over and help us. And Paul did that, of course. So the Macedonian call is still for us today. I want to talk a little bit this evening before we get into some particulars about Acts chapter 11. If you'd like to turn back to Acts 11 now, we will be looking at that in just a minute. We'll look at Acts 11:19. But why do foreign evangelism? Let me talk about that for just a little bit. I want to share with you some things that I've heard through life, but I want to be very clear that this is not you. I appreciate all of you, and you've been very supportive of this trip thus far and will continue to be, and I appreciate that. I'm just going to mention some things that I've heard from other people. This is not here. But sometimes brethren will say something like, well, we've never done that before, so we don't need to do it. Or we have lost people here at home, so we don't need to be doing that. And on that, I would say, amen, we do. And that's why I have a radio program every week. And I have a once-a-week Bible study with someone right now each week. And I've got others planned. There are lost here in Clarksville, and I will try my hardest to reach them. Any visitor that comes, I always talk with them. And if they're not a member of the church, I try to set up a visit with them and ultimately a Bible study. And Roger and I have done that on a number of occasions, and we will continue to do that. But there are lost people other places as well, and we need to be world-minded. Sometimes somebody will say, well, we hired the preacher to stay here with us. And that's a misconception of what we find in the book of Acts. The scripture does teach what we call a located preacher when Paul was in Corinth for about a year and a half. A preacher can stay in one place, but there's never the idea that he must stay there and go nowhere else. Sometimes brethren will say, well, we're not able to do the preaching and teaching while the preacher is gone. And I know that that is not the case here, but it is the case in some places. And so the preacher is never able to leave because the men will not step up and help out while he's gone. Sometimes brethren will say we should let them do their own evangelism in their own country. And again, we need to be mindful of the help that they need in doing that. Paul was evangelistic minded, and not only that, but we're going to see this evening the church at Antioch. And I want Warfield, and we already are, but I want us to continue to be like the church at Antioch, to have this attitude of we want good teachers here locally, but then we want, as we have opportunity, to send out men to do that as well and other places. None of these statements that I've just mentioned or attitudes are found in the New Testament church. You'll find it among some brethren today, not here at Warfield, but other places, but it's not in the New Testament. And our attitudes and our understandings of foreign evangelism need to come from the New Testament. And we need to be like this church at Antioch. And Antioch is going to be our example for evangelism this evening. So come with me to Acts chapter 11. I don't have any PowerPoints for you this evening because I just simply want to talk with you a little bit this evening from the scripture, from Antioch in particular, and then I'm going to work in how the things that Steve and Wayne and I are doing on the trip, how that works into what we're reading here in the book of Acts. And when you look at the church at Antioch, if you are taking some notes, we're going to learn four things this evening about the church at Antioch. Number one, a local church needs to learn to do foreign evangelism. Number two, a local church needs to learn that foreign evangelism is about making new converts. It's about saving the lost. And I think that's something that we commonly think about with regard to foreign evangelism. But then there's the third point that's very important, and that is foreign evangelism is also about establishing those who are already brethren. That's very important. Yes, we go around the world to baptize, and we want to hear the reports about those baptisms, and we want to hear the reports about the people lining up to go down into the river and things like that. And Lord willing, there'll be some of those reports. We want to hear that. But there's also an extremely important role of establishing those who are already brethren. That's very important. And we'll see how Paul did that as well. And then last of all, number four, there's a need to report back to the church. So let's look at those four things. Turn with me to Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Do you know that the church at Antioch actually got started as a result of foreign evangelism? Did you know that? The church at Antioch got started because another church in Jerusalem decided to send some men out, and they went because of persecution, and they left that area, and they went other places, and other brethren were converted. Look at chapter 11 and verse 19. They therefore that were scattered abroad, that is, the Christians in Jerusalem, upon the tribulation that arose about Stephen, Acts chapter 7, beginning of Acts chapter 8, they traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to none save only to Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Greeks, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And we know the rest of the story. The church there gets started at Antioch. The Christians, the disciples are called Christians first in Antioch. Verse 26. The church at Antioch actually got started because some brethren were what we would call foreign evangelism minded. And notice in Acts chapter 11 and verse 19, both new converts were made in Antioch. That's 19 through 21. So when we go on what we call foreign evangelism, we do want to go to places. And I'll tell you about what's planned with that. We want to go where there are non-Christians, and we want to baptize them into Christ. That's what we have here in 19 through 21. But look at verse 22. And the report concerning them, these new Christians in Antioch, came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas as far as Antioch, who when he was come and had seen the grace of God was glad, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. He wasn't going there to convert the lost. Why was he going there? What we would call simply to build up the saved. But that's important. One thing I will tell you, brethren, about being in other countries, I will tell you this. We here are so blessed with some things that you don't find in other countries. One thing that we're blessed with here is that we have a tradition where the children are in Bible classes and a lot of times with published Bible class materials and things like that. And they've been raised that way their whole life. They don't have that in other countries. They don't have the classrooms and the decorated rooms and the material and all kinds of curriculum and stuff like that. Many of them do not know their Bible that well. We know our Bibles much more often than folks in other countries. And we take a lot for granted. And when you show up, you will see, wow, there's a lot of work that needs to go on here among the brethren. So notice that Barnabas is showing up not to preach to the lost, although he may have done that while he was in town. He was there for the specific reason. And notice that the church at Jerusalem sent him for the specific reason just simply to build up brethren. That is important as well. So we find that new converts were made as a result of foreign evangelism, and Christians were strengthened as a result of foreign evangelism. It's not one or the other, it's both. And not only that, but look at this. So Barnabas, he shows up, 23, 24, and then look at verse 25, and he went forth to Tarsus to seek for Saul, who, when he had found him, brought him into Antioch, and it came to pass that even for a whole year they were gathered together with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Again, Barnabas goes and gets Paul. Why? To teach there for a year. Yes, there would have been new converts made, but there was also the strengthening of the Christians. And so foreign evangelism is not just simply to make new converts, but to establish our brethren. Now, in just a minute, I will mention some things that we have planned for that. Come with me now to Acts 13, the scripture reading. The church at Antioch then became a foreign evangelism church themselves. And I'm glad that Warfield Boulevard is planning this, and we're working together with the elders and others to do this. And I hope that, Lord willing, we can continue to do this, to make this a regular habit. We want to be like Antioch. Antioch sent Paul out, brought him back, sent him out, brought him back, sent him out again. That is the New Testament pattern. And so a church that gets started as a result of foreign evangelism, they become foreign evangelistic minded themselves. In other words, it wasn't just about Antioch. Were there folks in Antioch that needed to be saved? Absolutely. And they were working to do that. But they had this mindset as a result of the Holy Spirit also that, yes, try to save as many people as you can in Antioch, Clarksville, but also send people out. And they did that. I want you to notice three things about our scripture reading this evening. Notice in verse 1 that the local church at Antioch had teachers. They had teachers all ready to go. Some of them could stay behind and teach, and that's important, and some of them could go. Brethren, I want us to think about with regard to Warfield Boulevard. Don't think about this with regard to a one and done, you know, one trip to Ghana and then that's it. Think about it this way, and I'd like the men, seriously, to think about it this way. That down the road, Lord willing, if we could continue doing this, think about this, men. Can you go with me sometime? Can you go on your own sometime? Can we have some of the younger folks go in time? Notice that the church had teachers. Some of them stayed behind who can continue to work with the church. Some of them left. That's the way we want it to be. We want to be thinking, men especially, we want to be thinking, how can I develop myself to do this kind of thing? And you're thinking, well, wait a minute. That would require me maybe taking vacation from work. I've known of brethren, men, who are not what we call full-time preachers, who once a year will go do foreign evangelism, and they'll just take some of their personal time to go do that. Be thinking about that. It's very important. Very good thing to do. So number one, they had men who would stay behind and keep working, and then they had men who were left. That doesn't happen by accident. That has to be planned. So if you go back to 11, verse 25 and 26, when Paul and Barnabas were there for a whole year, how did they use that year? How did they use that year? To get caught up to speed, to be so taught in the Word that you have these events of chapter 12 where the benevolence is being taken for the needy saints in Judea. And then when that's over with, we find this thing happening in chapter 13. Not a lot of time passes. And then we have this church that is already evangelistic minded. Antioch is a great example for all of us today. Notice the second thing in our scripture reading this evening. Look at verse 2. The Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." The second thing that we need to notice is the Holy Spirit said that this is what He wanted. He sanctioned this. He showed that what we would call foreign evangelism is a God-sanctioned work and practice. This is what God wants. And it should be what we want. And then notice number 3. And I'm glad of your support, and you've been talking with me about this. Verse 3, when they, the church, had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they physically put their hands on them to show approval. We're backing you, we're supporting you, we want you to do this, we'll be praying for you. It's a physical act that shows support. The church wholeheartedly supported this work of foreign evangelism. And I appreciate the backing that you give me on this. Notice those things. It's very important. So then, Paul used the Antioch church as his home base for preaching trips. Do you know, and I know you do know, that he left from Antioch and came back there on his first 2 trips. On his 3rd trip, he left from Antioch and then returned to Jerusalem. Antioch was very familiar with what we would call foreign evangelism. And I want us all, and young men who are sitting there this evening hearing me, I want you to think about that. Can I put that bug in your ear to be doing this in time? The church at Antioch, if you turn over to chapter 15, the church at Antioch was also a part of sending Paul down to Jerusalem. Acts 15, 1 and 2. There were some people who came up to Antioch and they were preaching, "Except you be circumcised after the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." They discussed it. The New American Standard, I believe, says there was no small debate and questioning. And then the church, the brethren, appointed Paul and Barnabas and certain others to go up to Jerusalem and discuss this. So Antioch was very, very much interested in sending people out to deal with foreign evangelism and the lost and helping other brethren and then taking care of truth. So our first point this evening is that the Antioch church was evangelistic minded. And I appreciate the elders of this church seeing the need for us to do foreign evangelism and all the brethren here supporting me to do that both financially and supporting me with your encouragement. I've done this before, and I hope to do it again, Lord willing, as the need arises. And if I can take down the road other men with me, I would love to do that. The second lesson that we learn from Antioch is that foreign evangelism is time to make new converts. So let me discuss that a little bit with you this evening. I brought my itinerary with me. If you'd like to look at that after the service, I'd be glad to show you that. But foreign evangelism is about making new converts. We won't take time this evening to go through all of the Bible passages, but if you come back with me to Acts 13, we'll just look at a few examples of this. When Paul and Barnabas left Antioch, they were new convert evangelism minded. They would go to places, they would preach the gospel. So they come here on their first trip, they sailed to Cyprus, and they preach the gospel there. This Bar-Jesus tries to hinder them, but Sergius Paulus becomes a believer in verse 12. They eventually get over to Antioch of Pisidia, and they begin to preach the word of God there. And you find in verse 43, believers and disciples and converts. Verse 48, they get to Iconium, chapter 14, verse 1. Some of the Jews and Greeks believed, and on and on. On the second trip in Acts 16, we know about Lydia and her household, and the jailer and his household, and so forth. On the third trip, they get to Corinth, and Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believes, and so forth. There are new converts. So, we have time planned on this trip to speak to non-Christians. Now, one thing that Daniel has done for us is that Monday through Friday, during the mornings, each of the weeks that we're going to be there, it's primarily studies with unbelievers. So we'll get up in the morning and we'll go do that before lunch. We've already talked about a couple of specific types of things. First of all, the brethren there, the congregation where Daniel is at is called Escuchi, the Escuchi Church of Christ. The Escuchi congregation is about 80 to 100 people. And there are several members there whose spouses are not Christians. So he's already got it scheduled that we're going to go to their home and talk to these non-Christians. And I'm looking forward to that. Daniel tells me that they have typical denominational individuals there. Your typical kinds of denominations are represented there in Cape Coast. One of the biggest one, of course, is Muslims. And so I will be taking my material to talk with Muslims about Jesus and how he's the Son of God. They don't believe that and things like that. So Daniel has a Sunday morning radio program, and he reaches a lot of people in Cape Coast, and he gets contacts from that radio program through Facebook. So he's got a whole list of individuals ready to go that we can talk to about the gospel and hopefully bring them to Christ. The radio program is on Sunday morning from 5 to 6 a.m. We get up at 4 a.m., which I normally don't do on Sunday morning. And we will have that radio program, and that, of course, is also reaching the lost. Daniel tells me, in fact, you can already see him if you want. That radio program is published on Facebook. And those of you who like to watch things that way, you can already see him on the radio program that way. He films that while he's on the program and puts that on Facebook. So, in the mornings, typically, there's the radio program, but in the mornings throughout the week, there are a lot of lessons planned with non-Christians. And we hope to reach the lost during that time. Come with me now to Acts chapter 14. And verse 21. The second need that you find in foreign evangelism, the first one is you've got to try to reach the lost, and we've got time definitely built in for that. The second thing you need to do with regard to foreign evangelism, and sometimes it's something that may not be on our radar because we're thinking about the lost, and we should, but it's also the matter of establishing those who are already saved. It's very important that preachers in other countries who, again, they don't have the resources that we have, they don't have the knowledge and the background and the upbringing that we have, they need to be strengthened in the Word of God. They need to be strengthened by talking with them personally. Brethren need to be talked to. Daniel tells me that they have the same problems and challenges in that congregation that we see here among our brethren here, the same types of things. There might be division, there might be the need for counseling. Some have attendance problems, just like you have here. Just all the typical kinds of things. So brethren have to be attended to with regard to strengthening and encouragement. Look at Acts chapter 14 and verse 21. Remember, this is Paul still on what we would call a foreign evangelism trip. He's going to other places. But what does he do? Look at verse 21. He circles back around to the places that he had been to for the express purpose, not of evangelizing the lost, but strengthening those who are already saved. And do you know that the very passage of Scripture that we turn to talk about the need for elders in a church, do you know that that happened on a foreign evangelism trip? Because Paul was spending time not with the lost, but with brethren. You have to do that too. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, there's your teaching the lost, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples. You've got to do that too. exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that through many tribulations we must enter into the kingdom of God. Now look at this. And when they had appointed for them elders in every church, well-known passage to us, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed. It was the circling back around and spending time with the brethren again that allowed Paul to appoint these elders. They need that. At the Ascuchi Church does not have elders. There are many, many congregations around the world that do not have elders. My father ran into this in Mexico. I've run into it in the Philippines. For some reason, men, brethren, they will not develop themselves. They will not mature. They will not grow. Steve Wallace, who I've traveled with, he goes to India. He's found the same thing in India. John Gentry has found the same thing in Moldova. You go around the world, you're going to find many congregations, but the men will not develop themselves. And so there's got to be time for that. There's got to be time for that. So the first need is to evangelize the lost. The second need is to establish those who are already brethren. And we could spend time this evening looking in chapter 15 where Paul did that, in chapter 18 and chapter 19 where Paul did that. He was in Ephesus about 3 years. Clearly, he's spending time doing that. So let's talk about that a little bit. Not only is there time spent reaching the lost, but Daniel and I have time spent establishing those who are brethren. So first of all, we have time set aside to meet with Daniel and other young preachers in the area. And I will be talking with them about their work, things that they need to be doing, things that they need help with. It'll be time for them to ask questions. We'll study Bible passages and things like that. On this itinerary, I told you about what's planned in the morning. In the evening, every evening, Monday through Friday, every evening is spent me doing men's training. I'm going to be gathering the men together at this Ascuchi Church. Steve Walker is going to go to another church nearby. I'm going to talk to the men every evening. And there's going to be training on the things that we do in the assembly, waiting on the Lord's table. I'm going to be talking about preaching, teaching Bible class. The local preacher, just like here, just like in any congregation, it cannot fall on the shoulders of one man. You'll wear him out. He can't do it all. He can't get to it all. The men have to learn to step up and help out. And they do have some men doing things, but more have to learn to be trained and get involved. So we wait for them to get off work. And when they get off work in the afternoon, then we'll spend the evening, every evening, with men's training. It's a part of that establishing and building up the brethren. There's also going to be, they don't have a Sunday afternoon service. They have one service, a longer service in the morning. The Sunday afternoons and the weekday evenings are all going to be spent on men's training. Of course, I will be with the brethren during the regular worship service on Sunday, and then they do have a midweek service just like we do. There's several counseling sessions that have been built in. Steve Walker is actually a licensed counselor. I'm not. But we will be spending some time with brethren. There are many brethren that already have marriage questions, family questions. We have a special session set up for the young people and social media. A lot of questions that they have. There are two Saturday lectureships that are devoted to brethren primarily, again, to build up brethren and strengthen them. And then on Sunday mornings, there is a small group of nursing college students in Cape Coast, which is exciting. And they are members of the church, about 15 of them. And there is a church service at that college. Now, young people, you listen carefully. That church service is from 6 to 7 on Sunday morning. Are you up at 6? Well, first of all, they're not in their bed at 6. They're at this nursing school at 6. So they've been up since probably 5. But listen, why do they have the service at 5 to 6? Because some of them have classes later that morning. Would you get up early at 5 o'clock, go to a church service, and then go to college class? They're really dedicated. They're really committed. And they love it. So there's this small group of college students, the two Saturday lectureships, the counseling sessions, the Sunday and the midweek service. These are times all with brethren, and then the men's training on Sunday afternoons and evenings. Any free time that I have with Daniel, and I do this when I'm with another preacher, riding in a car, in our room, in the evening, eating a meal, I constantly try to talk with them about spiritual matters. So the time spent with non-members and the time spent with brethren, that's what we have planned. And then last of all, turn with me to Acts 14 and we will come down toward the close of our overview here. There's one more thing that we learn from Antioch. Number one, we learn that we need to be foreign evangelistic minded. Number two, we learn that when we do go out and go to other places, make new converts. Number three, spend time establishing the brethren. Very important. And then number four, report back to the brethren, because it's the brethren that make it possible. When you give your contribution on Sunday, it goes into the treasury. That treasury builds up. The elders make plans for the use of that money. They've made plans that a certain amount of money is going to be spent for this trip to take care of the things that are involved in that, and you have given to that. And so you are an integral part of making this happen, and you need to and want to know what has gone on. So look at Acts 14 when Paul and Barnabas got back from what we call this first missionary trip. What did they do? Acts 14:25, and when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Italia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, from where they had been committed to the grace of God. Notice the brethren committed them to this. The brethren are behind it. That goes back to Acts 13, 1 through 4. We're all behind this. We commit you to the grace of God, and I appreciate the prayer by Daniel, and I know that others have commented to me already that they hope that the trip and the work will be a success. And so they went back to where they'd been committed to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all things that God had done with them. And ultimately, God not only gets the glory, but through God's providence, it all takes place. And that he had opened a door of faith unto the Gentiles, and they tarried no little time with the disciples. So Lord willing, when I get back, a report will be given to the church here as we gather together to talk about the things that are done. I want to thank you for your support for this trip, both financial and your encouragement. I would ask you to pray for it as you already have been, and I appreciate that. Keep an eye on Sherry while I'm gone and help her if she needs any help. I would appreciate that. And some of you have asked me about giving money individually to me to take there, and I want to mention that before I close. The church here, the elders have set aside money for the trip proper. This is going to be the plane ticket, where to stay, food, transportation. And that's primarily the money that is coming from the church here. When you get in country somewhere else, often you have some other needs. And a lot of times it has to do with individual benevolence and even feeding someone. And we would prefer to take that from individual funds rather than the local church funds. And so if you want to give to me, I will put your name on that. I will earmark that. Some of you have already done that. Some of you have said that you want to do that. And that money can go to Bibles, which I've already purchased over 40 Bibles that are sitting in Daniel's house right now. They're ready to be passed out. We can do more Bibles, individual benevolence from time to time. I keep my eyes and ears open when I'm in situations. You don't want to go into a country and be like the Pied Piper. Hey, I'm here. I've got a lot of money. You don't do that. But you keep your eyes and ears open, and when I see worthy brethren, sometimes I've seen this happen before where I'm speaking at a situation and some preacher, some young preacher and his wife and three or four kids, they show up, they've traveled 3 or 4 hours, and they're there, and then I'm talking with the local preacher, I'm saying, well, who is that? Well, that's Brother So-and-so. He does a great work, but they don't have a car, they don't have this, and they don't have that. Well, I take note of that, and if I can kind of help them before I leave, I try to do that. So there'll be cases like that, and not just preachers, but sometimes brethren. I keep my eyes and ears open for individual benevolence needs, and I can use your money for that if you want that. And another thing that happens, and this is something that we're not familiar with or that we don't do, but it happens in other countries, and that is there's going to be 2 Saturdays where we're preaching to brethren from 8:30 to 2 at that Escuche Church building. Daniel has been working really hard to get the word out all over Ghana and Cape Coast, especially the Cape Coast area. You'll have a lot of brethren who will come. Now, over probably almost 99% of the brethren do not have their own cars. They walk, public transportation. Very few brethren have their own cars. All of us have our own vehicles. It's the opposite in other countries. Not only that, but they travel great distances, 3-4 hours. You cannot invite them to come to a lesson and after 45 minutes say, okay, everybody go home. That's not going to happen. You can't do that. They have traveled 3 to 4 hours to get there. Number one, they want to stay more than 45 minutes. We're used to going to a gospel meeting and we go in and we're done in about an hour and we drive home. That's not how that works. So once you get them there, they stay for a very long time. And I'm mindful of Mark chapter 6. Do you remember in Mark chapter 6 when Jesus fed the 5,000? Do you remember what happened in the first part of that chapter? He was teaching them all day long. And he saw that they were in need, and so he provides this food for them. So what happens is this, that the ladies and the local congregation will work to try to feed everybody that's there. And it's usually things like chicken and rice and things that can feed a lot of people. That money that is taken to buy that food, that does not need to come from the church treasury. But from individuals, we can certainly do that kind of thing. And so some have already given me money for that particular need. So there will be 2 Saturdays in which that kind of feeding will go on. So we preach from 8:30 to 2. Just, it kind of reminds me of Nehemiah 8, where they started in the morning and they went till midday reading the law. From 8:30 to 2, and then after 2, there will be a meal. Now, that meal is not a part of the local church. It's not a part of the work of the church. We make separations here. They do the same thing over there, so it doesn't get blurred or confused. It's all separate. A lot of times it's in a separate place, or they'll go outside of the building or something like that. But with regard to helping with the rice and the chicken and something to drink, individuals will give for that, and I will use it on that particular venue if you'd like, or Bibles or individual benevolence or anything individually that you would like to help with. I'll be glad to take that with me and earmark it and use it for that purpose and then report back to you. Well, we're going to close. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. If you have any more questions, I just wanted to give an overview there, and I appreciate the church here, like Antioch, being evangelistic and foreign evangelistic minded, and Lord willing, I hope that we can continue to do these things. So August 3rd, and then Lord willing, I'll be back on Friday, August the 26th. Talking about evangelism, of course, prompts me this evening to just simply make the point that being saved is the most important thing in life. And being right with God is the most important thing in life. And if you're not in that relationship this evening, we would encourage you to do that. The greatest help I could ever give you, going back to that Macedonian call, the greatest help that I could ever give you is the help in becoming a Christian. I would love to do that tonight with you. If there's something that you want to talk about, if there's something that you want to study about, I'd be glad to take the time to do that. If there's a child of God who needs to come back in some way, I'd be glad to help you to do that. There are a lot of things going on in the world. There's a lot of things going on in politics and in our nation and economy and all kinds of things going on. Let's stay focused on what is the most important thing, and that is getting people, ourselves and others, to heaven. That's the most important thing. And I appreciate your encouragement and help as we try to do that both locally and abroad. As we stand and sing this song of encouragement, if we can help you to come to Christ, why won't you, as we stand and as we sing.